Number 7. Rurouni Kenshin. It doesn't take a genius to create a super-powered badass protagonist. The real trick is creating one who isn't the selfish, cocky asshole. To illustrate the level of challenge involved, let's open up the big book of protagonist jerks. God of War, Kratos. No More Heroes, Travis Touchdown. Devil May Cry, Dante. Hellsing, Alucard. Elven Lead, Lucy. Batman. Batman. The Melancholy of Suzumiya Haruhi. Okay, yeah, Suzumiya Haruhi. Hugh Jackman's Wolverine. Ewan McGregor's Obi-Wan Kenobi. Afro Samurai is not on this list with respect to Samuel L. Jackson. The list goes on anyway, but the point is, each of these people has about as much ability to carry dramatic tension as the whole group of them put together have humility. This, of course, brings us to Kenshin Himura, former assassin elite of the Meiji Revolution. At the end of the brutal conflict, Kenshin vanished into obscurity, assuming the identity of a frail, girlish wanderer. Looking at him, nobody would guess that he's almost 30 years old, and that he could swing his sword with enough force to bisect a cannonball, so the disguise worked fine. He sought a life of peace, even going so far as to acquire a reverse blade sword, which couldn't kill anyone. Of course, the blunt force trauma could still cause a ton of internal injuries, but I'm a writer, not a doctor. So Kenshin settles down at a small-time swordsmanship dojo, and quickly accumulates a cadre of weird friends, many of whom having tried to kill him, steal from him, or kidnap or kill one of his other friends. From there, most of the Kenshin group's adventures stem from his experiences back during the revolution. As it is, the anime is loosely based on people, places, and events from the Meiji era of Japanese history. And by loosely, I mean there's giants and cyborgs running around. Either way, give this one a watch. Some people can't get past his goofy, gentle demeanor, but believe me, you don't want to get on this guy's bad side. Rest in peace, MJ. Rest in peace. Number 6. Vampire Hunter D, Bloodlust. In this world of Hellsings, Anne Rice's, Twilight's, Mistress Mew's, and Sookie Stackhouse's, the Vampire Hunter D mythos is probably the only vampire-based franchise I've ever been 100% satisfied with. You heard me, Castlevania. I was born 2D and I'll die 2D.
Your words are as empty as your soul.
Vampire Hunter D takes place in the quintuple digits, where the world has become a post-apocalyptic hellscape with patches of anachronistic civilization. In one area, you have spaceships, cyborgs, nanotechnology, and living holograms, while in others, you have tiny medieval hamlets, blacksmiths, old-fashioned schools and churches. The novels on which the movies were based split the world into elegant yet bloodthirsty malevolent nobles, aka vampires, and the fearful, poorly equipped, and poorly organized humans. Over the course of history, the nobles have gone to war against the humans to keep them under their thumb, while the humans tried to revolt. Ultimately, the world came to a standstill. Nobles secluded themselves in their castles, genetically recreating magical creatures, including werewolves, dragons, and the like. Each of them more than happy to do the vampire's dirty work. The humans don't really get that kind of a deal. The peaceful ones are more or less stuck where they are, while the bolder ones, hunters by trade, run around with big guns and cybernetic augmentations, although they spend more time picking on weaker humans or killing competing hunters than they ever do hunting anything. And then there's D. Like Castlevania's interpretation of Alucard, Dee is the half-breed son of Dracula, as is heavily implied by both books and movie. Yet, while Dracula remains an unseen antagonist and god-king amongst vampires, Dee is a wandering hunter whose sole purpose is to kill other vampires, especially his father. Bloodlust is an incredibly well-animated interpretation of the third book, Demon Death Chase. A village girl has been kidnapped by the vampire Meyer Link, and her father hires both Dee and a group of vampire hunters known as the Marcus Brothers. Of course, as is usually the case with vampire stories, all is not what it seems. This movie has it all. Music, art, action, romance, tragedy, horror, and epic battles. Some of the characters are treated more gently than they were in the books, and Dee's sidekick is kind of annoying.
Yeah, well, what's the sound of one hand yapping?
But trust me, this one's worth it.
It's as simple as that.